Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. Your host, Nathan Spearing, here to encourage you today to just move and share some more practical tips for better health every day. I know each and every one of you is growing older by the minute, but there are ways that you can improve your health continually or do things to stave off the effects of aging, the effects of your body continuing to be used every day. And I think that if you're like me, sometimes you create this perfect picture of what health and working out is, and you feel like, oh, I got to get to the gym. I got to do an hour and a half. I got to do 2 hours. I got to get 17 sets in. I got to make sure that I eat all vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, organic, you know, grass-fed beef, and I can't ever get it everything lined up right. It's going to be expensive. Okay, I'm just going to eat this donut. Okay, I can't get to the gym and do this perfect workout, this awesome program, so I'm just going to go to the office and get working on estimates because I just don't think I have the time today. What I want to encourage you to do, and this is something that Eric Kahn talked about in his podcast with John Moody, the podcast. I'll link it to the show note in the show notes, but the episode is entitled Testosterone, Food, and Masculine Health with John Moody. And I think it's an excellent practical podcast for those of you trying to do things more healthily, be more healthy in your family, in your daily practices. And John Moody highlights some of the ways that our current society functions and how that is at odds with those of us trying to maintain a healthy balance of masculine hormones, and talk about the fertility rate, et cetera, what's going on. And I think it's just, you'll find it very encouraging. But one of the things that ties into what I'm talking about right now is he talked about or encouraged you to make incremental changes that over time will compound to like change the entire dynamic of your family or your personal health. And John Acuff talks about this as well in the book Finish, excellent book, subtitle Give Yourself the Gift of Done. And it gives some very practical ways to achieve goals. And I haven't read the book in a while, but some of the things that have stuck with me are, he says, just cut your goal in half that you're trying to do and just do that. And if you can't do that, cut that in half again. This is me saying that. Just make the initial step small enough that you can just do it. He gave one example of somebody was saying that they want to run a mile a day or 2 miles a day. They just made their goal, put on their running shoes. Do the first step. Do the thing that you need to do that is first in the chain, and then do the next thing. We actually have a great podcast with Bill Rapier coming up where he talks about how he broke down getting through buds into single tasks and just kept doing the next task. And that is how you win in life. That is how you achieve great things in business, in personal practices such as health, such as growing yourself mentally, spiritually, and physically. I mean, it's easy to think, oh, I got to get on this great Bible reading plan. You know what you can do? Do what I did today on the way to work. You open up your Bible app. I really like the app Dwell. It's a subscription-based thing. It has lots of different voices and versions and lots of different controls over how fast it goes. And it's just phenomenally put up. So I just opened it up, select a chapter in the New Testament, and hit play and have the word and resist the urge to do anything else. I think that there's a tendency to be distracted, to pull my email up when I pulled up in front of the office and think, nope, I'm not touching the phone. I'm not picking it up. I'm going to just sit here and listen. And I've got two chapters of the Bible that entered my ears today. And if anything else, it's how I started the day. I got things going. Same with working out. I got up this morning, and before I did coffee, I looked up a simple workout on the rings. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't something that you're going to, you know, it's going to be huge, but I've been trying to work on some shoulder mobility and stability. And so I did some ring pushups, some ring dips, some plank holding the ring, and some maintaining the top position in the dips. It was just stability on the rings. It was not a CrossFit open workout. It was not something that just had me drenching the pavement around me in sweat because I did something so significant. But worst case scenario, even if I don't, I intend to try to do a ruck a little bit later on today. But even if I do nothing else, I know that I targeted a couple muscle groups. I got an initial burn from that. It was a good thing to do at the beginning of the day because it got my body going. I had the sun coming up over the trees, so I was getting some of that low horizon light, that multi-spectrum light into my retinas. I was getting my body on sync, starting to get all the cells and things going before I had any coffee, before I had anything else going on. I just kind of got my heart rate up a little bit. So how can you today, where you are right now, take one small bite out of what you have going on and start making those incremental changes in your life that will equal health? So for a huge part of my life, working out was a critical pillar to me being successful. And in my life as in post-special operations life, I'm having to deliberately shift my mindset away. That's kind of what forms my perfect workout or my vision of what I have to do to count. Like, I have to get hours and hours in. I got to do this now, and it'll a lot of times cause me just to not work out, frankly. So I've had times, you know, where I've said, okay, I really got to be intentional about this. I really got to make sure my health, and I've done 75 hard. And I failed it a couple times. So I've ended up doing a lot more than 75 hard times two. I've done, I think, three or four times started it and not finished it. Some of that was because I just started it without talking to my wife. And that was not the right move because I was going to be working out an hour and a half a day and kind of need to coordinate that with your wife if you're going to do that. But I've talked about this in previous episodes, got a lot of new listeners since, but essentially, the program is you have to work out 45 minutes twice a day. One of those workouts has to be outside no matter what the weather is. You have to drink a gallon of water every day, follow a diet every day, read 10 pages of nonfiction book, and take a progress photo. And you're not allowed to drink any alcohol during this workout. And what I feel like is although this is pretty hardcore, really isn't that hardcore, people. I mean, 45-minute workout. I mean, it's an hour and a half of working out, and I think the fact that it's broken into two workouts, so you end up getting pretty nasty and sweaty twice a day, so this is kind of a logistical thing. If you're going to work or going to bed or whatever, you have to clean yourself up a couple times, so it ends up being closer to 2 hours, two hours, 15 minutes of prep and cleanup and et cetera. So it's a big, big bump, but what I think people miss about this program and what people that think, oh, this is so hardcore, is it's a self-paced program. There's no workout that says you got to do this. Everybody's got to run 5 miles as one of those 45-minute workouts. It's literally, where are you right now? Commit the time to do it for time and to continue to increase in difficulty and to push yourself to go just a little bit farther or a little bit harder each time. So you can start exactly where you are, and then you do the steps. And the steps, each step is in and of itself, is not a monumental step, but something like drinking a gallon of water. If you forget to get up and drink half a quart, kind of right when you get up, and you don't stay on it, and you're not half of a gallon done by lunch, you're going to have a hard time getting your sleep that night because you're going to be waking up three or four times to have to use the bathroom. But if you take a couple sips of water throughout the day, you regularly set your environment. The way I did it is I had some Nalgene's around and I had to drink four Nalgene's and just making sure that there was maybe two filled up, three filled up. So I knew if once all three of these are gone, I got, you know, 75% of my water consumption done for the day. Reading 10 pages. If you wait till the very end of the day and you are beat from working out and you're trying to knock those 10 pages out, honestly, this is where I found myself a lot of times, is sitting down and reading at the very end of the day and would have to kind of even read in the squat position to be kind of up and engage in some stuff just to keep myself awake, because I was ready to tank off into some sleep. So setting up a schedule and doing that, doing those incremental steps, and that doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to be 75 hard right away. I would really encourage you to do it if you haven't, but set aside some time, say, I'm going to do 15 minutes. Oh, I'm going to move for 15 minutes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get it done. And then do it the next day and do it the next day. And it can be something that you want to obviously listen to your body, understand that. But so for me, in, I think it's fall of 2010, on infiltration via helicopter, I ran off a cliff. I was shooting from the door of the helicopter until it landed. And those of you that have experienced that, though you haven't, when the helicopter gets close to the land in certain areas that we've been at war lately, you get down close to the Earth's surface and it's dusty, it's sandy, and it's called brownout. And so we were kind of enveloped in a like thick brown, really fine dust, like moon dust type brownout when we landed. So I hadn't gotten a good look at what the terrain was, but we had to go and pursue the enemy. So I unhooked from the helicopter, started sprinting down the hillside. And as I was sprinting down, I noticed a outline and that the terrain was falling away. And it ended up being a 12-foot cliff where the side of the hill had washed away. And I, Looney Tunes, ran right off that sucker. I mean, it was literally like those moments you see Roadrunner fall straight out into space, pause at the top, look down, and then fall. And I remember thinking, I hope the bottom comes soon. And crunch, rolled my right foot, landed kind of on the my toes, and it just rolled my foot under and snapped my third and fourth metatarsal, crushed where it kind of entered into all the smaller bones up towards the ankle. And I didn't know right away. I mean, I felt like it was broken, but I didn't want to be the guy that says, go on without me, Sarge. You know, so I hobbled over. We finished the mission. I felt like something was pretty wrong going, especially when I started to walk up the hill to get picked up by the helicopters and that pushing on this sloped terrain. And what that has actually did for me was it changed my ability to run. I could run still. One time it would hurt when I started running, and then the next 3 or 4 days afterwards I would be limping because all the different bones just aren't jiving. And it's something that still bothers me to this day. It's just all those little bones, all the once you kind of crush it, I've heard that hands and feet are some of the most difficult to get back. And, you know, honestly didn't have time to do the rehab as consistent as I should have. And so that has hampered my ability to run and has driven me to seek other things to do besides running. And one of the things that I was able to do with 75 hard is, instead of trying to run, if I'm gonna have to do this outdoor workout every single day, I can't do running the whole time. Because I run the first day and then I can barely walk the next day. So I started walking. I would look at my heart rate, my pace, and I would walk. And I'd walk as fast as I could. And I didn't realize until just recently, I read the book, The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. And this is something that those of you that are into the outdoor hunting type stuff, into fitness, into understanding, and are convinced that our society is going soft, because it is. And each and every one of us at certain times can be guilty of being soft. And we're not about softness here. We're about being strong, being hard, being able to do, to find, identify the targets in life and hit them every single day. So Michael Easter talked about how the, you know, basically talked about the company GoRuck, and there's a lot of kind of stigma against rucking that people say, oh, you know, don't ruck, it's bad for you. And the military, you know, has, because the military will throw, you know, 60, 80, 90 pounds on your back, and you're not doing a lot of consistently training up for it. So you're just throwing that weight on and people are getting hurt and things like that. This actually talks about how they have done studies, and the analysis for running is that for during a 1 year period, competitive and recreational runners sustain overuse injuries 27 to 70% of the time. And, you know, walking injury rates are roughly 1%. And that if you add up to 50 pounds, it actually only marginally changes how much injury. And the Journal of Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise found that running hits the knee with force 8 times greater than your body weight. Walking gives you same body weight. Walking actually hits your knee with only 2.7 times your body weight. So, and by the numbers, 175 pound person loads their knee with 1400 pounds a stride, and walking is only 470 pounds. And then Journal of Sports Health was talking about how, or actually it's the University of Virginia did a study where if you add 30 pounds, those forces only jump to about 550 pounds. Now that sounds like a lot standing alone, but compared to 1400 pounds of pressure, that is pretty negligible as far as comparison wise. And so my personal experience with this has been that loading, carrying weight is able to really get that fatigue and that burn from a walk much better. It works your core, it works your shoulders, your back. It actually helps your posture be better because you got this weight pulling you. And when I did 75 hard, I did it with a weight vest that I bought at a chain fitness store. It kind of has 2 pound weight increments up to 40 pounds. So you can start out with just 10, 15 extra pounds and you can add 2 pounds at a time, kind of work your way up. And then for my birthday this year, my wife actually got me a GoRuck that has a 45 pound weight. And it's really that the backpacks are awesome. The weights are done. Cause when I've tried to put, you know, lifting plates in a ruck, like a regular rucksack, I got a Mystery Ranch backpack that I use, and it just, the weight drops down to the low bottom portion of it, which is not where you want to carry the majority of the heavy weight. You want it up high on your shoulders and close to your body. So the way that the GoRuck's designed, it allows me to put that 45 pound plate essentially right between my shoulder blades tight. It's got a pouch for the weight, and it's actually got another pouch. The larger one does. I can put another plate from them, so I can actually go heavier than 45 pounds. And guess what I've been doing? When we go on our family walk, like Daniel Grothy talked about in the podcast a couple episodes ago, like that practice of kind of being intentional with people and maybe not having to have dialogue, but just kind of being in the same place and experiencing it. I could put 45 pounds on my back and go for a walk with my kids. And it's a little bit slower pace than maybe if I was going by myself, but I'm getting a workout in at the same time that I'm hanging out with my family and I'm walking and we're going, moving around and we're checking the land and we're looking at different plants, and I just have extra weight on. And I can get back to the bus for dinner, and I have a burn. I have, you know, I can feel my upper body's been engaged, my shoulders, my back, my legs. And, you know, is that going to be the only thing that I do that day? Maybe it is. Maybe that's the only thing I can do. But I have it, my environment optimized, the GoRuck laying right there on the barn pad. I throw it on my back. It's easy to do it. I have a weighted vest in the back of my truck. Last night, I was able to just grab it and go on a quick walk to decompress at the end of the day. Didn't take my phone with me. I was able to see, and I actually, you know, brings me to another podcast that I think you should check out. I'll link it. It's a Jocko podcast about taking ownership over your physiology and psychology with Andrew Huberman. And it's a long packed podcast, y'all. It's like 5 hours and 15 minutes. The first hour is getting some biographical information about Dr. Huberman and what brought him to his field of study. One of the gems in that podcast was just talking about the visual rate by walking and being out in nature, and that rate at which information is coming to your brain and your eyes is actually restorative. And I've noticed it as a personal practice of mine, walking, rucking outside, no phone, and the ability to just take these kind of natural landscapes at a walking speed, not augmented like in a car or in a bike or in this at a pace that we have as human beings been able to achieve for thousands of years, and just that amount of data being natural that's coming to your eye being restorative. And they actually talk about what I really like the way they talk about in this podcast. They start out with the beginning of the day, waking up, routines to kind of help burn off certain things that are going on in your body. Talks about delaying coffee because the caffeine molecule is actually attached to something in your body that once the caffeine burns away, it's still there. And that's maybe why you're getting that afternoon slump, and how some high intensity activity early in the morning, drinking some water before and delaying your coffee or your caffeine intake till you've given your body a chance to kind of burn through some of that is actually better. The way the light is functioning and getting your body on that rhythm. It talks about every cell in your body being on a clock, and it's really just all the behaviors that you have to do to keep your body in rhythm. I love this stuff, man. And it's not one of those things that it's like, oh, you can, one of the things that what struck me is he was talking about how you can't just go in and stimulate the part of the brain that releases dopamine infinitely, that it is a renewable, non-infinite resource. So even with all the crazy stuff that we're doing with the brain and performance and stuff, we can't hack the dopamine system. The dopamine system has to be replenished through behaviors that take time, that take sleep, that take you doing the right thing. And how even now, as we learn more and more about the brain and all the sciences, we're still seeing the masterful design and the importance of the correct behaviors. I mean, he talks about a lot of stuff in the episode. So we'll link that in the show notes and encourage you to go check that out. But, you know, in summary, pick something today that you're going to do, and maybe the first inclination for what the amount you're going to do, just cut a little bit back from that and do it and get going and get out there and move. And if you don't have a ruck yet, you don't have weight, you don't have whatever, hey, just get out there and walk. You can do some lunges. You can do some squats. You can jump on a tree branch and do some pull-ups. Just give something, push yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone, and then do it again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day, and do it again the next day. Make those incremental changes now in your life. And if you're one of those guys that's running 1,000 miles a day and lifting, you know, 17 sets and has your, like, okay, this may not be the most hard-hitting podcast for you. You may be saying, Nate, you're weak sauce. That's fine, dude. You can call me a weak sauce. I'm comfortable with what I've done in life. Anyway, get out there and move, y'all. And, oh, hey, I got a prescriptor for you. Instead of sharing it with a friend, instead of just firing this guy, why don't you get a heavy backpack and invite a friend of yours that's working on trying to maybe progress somewhere in their health, or your wife who's working on that. Both of y'all, cue this podcast up and listen to it with them while you're walking. And then tag me in social media. Here we are. We're rucking together, listening to Life on Target. And let me see that you're taking this and you're acting upon it. Hope you enjoyed the content here. As always, we'll link the Comfort Crisis, the Hard Man podcast, the episode from Jocko's podcast in the show notes, and encourage y'all. Also, 75 Hard. I'll show you where the app that helps you track that, and maybe the podcast episode. We've linked to that before. And as always, have a good one.